This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Well, welcome along to Betting Weekly Extra Time, International Edition. Our handicappers were informed for the first tranche of matches as World Club Soccer across the top divisions paused. And as the group stages wrap up for Euro 2024 qualifying, we've got more value advice on the way. Plus, we tackle the biggest game in South America at national team level as the Super Clásico takes place at Estadio Maracanã in Rio. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, while senior handicapper Steve Wiss and Italian football journalist and broadcaster Daniele Fisichella are alongside me to cover the final games of the calendar year that feature countries rather than clubs. Steve, followers of the show have had a profitable international break so far, but I suspect that some might not have. We've had three nations that have been sent off at minus 3,000 or shorter, and none have covered the main Asian line: England, Portugal and Spain. And for those looking at overs and looking for one team to win by 3.5, 4.5 or so on, that's not been great, has it?
Well, hello, Dan, and hello, Daniele. First thing to say, this has been a very profitable show, the international show. And this man alongside me here, Daniele Fisichella, was brilliant last time he was on. I think you were a clean sweep, Daniele. More profit. Yes. Rory had an excellent round. I managed to break level, thanks to Uruguay. And the profit is plus 6.23 on this show from 30 bets. That's 20.77% ROI, Dan. So this has been a really good show. But you are right. Depending how you staked, and I'll be honest, the two Iberian teams really cost me in a few days ago. Portugal, especially. Spain went 3-0 up and then decided that was enough. There's been several other teams that, I mean, we talked about motivation on the last show and I kind of dismissed it a little bit, didn't I? But I think you may well have had a point, actually. There are some teams that are on the beach. They're on holiday. They're not that bothered. And I actually underestimated it a bit. I've got to be honest. So I'm not going to go anywhere near these big handicaps now. Perhaps it's a lesson learned for the future. But some of these sides are so bad, you just presume that even if they're on the beach, they can still rack up the score. But clearly not.
It is. It's difficult to know sometimes how motivated certain players are. Coaches obviously always want to win, but unlike bettors, they're not bothered about covering Asian lines. Is it, Daniele, because teams have already qualified? Is there a qualification fatigue that sets in? I mean, Italy did cover the Asian line, but they needed to win. Sometimes you've got to try and work out exactly what nations need and whether it matters or not for these big score lines to happen.
Well, I think it's mainly because of two reasons. Because of the level of European football, I think, has increased overall. So top nations find it extremely harder and harder to beat the so-called minnows. Look at San Marino. They scored in two consecutive games for the first time since 2005, and they almost drew against Denmark in the previous round. And the second reason is that even when it seems there is nothing at stake, there is actually something at stake, because UEFA have worked out such a complex system for the getting into the playoff that you need 3 degrees in economy to understand them, and it's beyond me. Apart from knowing that Poland and Georgia are definitely going to be in the playoff, there are so many other combinations with nations that are rather better losing than winning, and we talk about it later. But also, the seeding for the draw that is going to take place on the 2nd of December is going to be determined not by the FIFA ranking this time, but by the overall position in the different group qualifications. So if there are 6 spots and one is already been assigned to Germany, a seeded team, there are 5 teams competing for there are 8 teams competing for 5 city pots. So finishing top and having a good points tally, it matters a lot when you want to avoid a group of death. So there are a lot of complex calculation to go into it. And I don't think nobody's going to be throwing the towel just yet.
Yeah, I'm absolutely confused. UEFA are just, I mean, one thing I will say, at least it's something different rather than the bog standard rankings and things. But, I mean, someone was asking me who's going to be in the playoffs the other day. And I just My answer was, I just don't know. Let's just wait and see what happens. We'll get the draw. I mean, Estonia, I think, are still in the mixer to be in the playoffs in some sort of capacity. Moldova and Kazakhstan could still qualify directly, which is unbelievable with one game to go. There's some strange dynamics going on in European football, Dan, and I'm a little bit. That's just why I'm staying in South America.
Dave, you did put this question earlier in our group. How come these teams that were considered bad have become better? I thought about it, and I think the answer is the internet. I mean, not just because they look at the internet all the time, but 25 years ago, 30 years ago, some teams, especially in the Eastern Europe, were not as tactically advanced as the England, Germany, France, Portugal, etc. But now, with the knowledge that is at your fingertip, and there's been much more diffusion of tactics, courses, I'm sure you can look at YouTube videos, how to gegenpress. I mean, in the last World Cup, Costa Rica were gegenpressing. So I think that has raised the level a little bit higher, having access to all that knowledge. Of course, the difference is made by the superstars, and obviously some countries don't have them.
It's interesting. There are so many different ways that you can qualify for competitions, and certainly everything has to be taken in consideration when you're trying to find winners. We are recording ahead of Saturday's games. 9 money minus money favourites have cashed. 4 have failed to win. If you've been level staking across those minus money favourites, you would have lost money. It's not easy, even though there are some short prices out there. Let's start our previews, shall we? And this is a big one we're going to kick off with. This is Ukraine against Italy in Group C. This is Monday, 2:45 Eastern. Ukraine plus 3:20, Italy minus 109. There has been a little bit of money for Italy since they beat North Macedonia yesterday. The draw is plus 2:65 at the moment. This is a massive game, Daniele, in Leverkusen. Just reminders of the permutations, what Italy, Ukraine need to do here.
Italy needs to avoid defeat in Leverkusen to be assured to finish second behind England. Ukraine needs to win to qualify directly, although they might still go through by the playoff and they seem to have decent chances.
That's how it stands at the moment. A scare, Daniele, for Italy against North Macedonia. While I was not watching the game, but just watching the scores come in, I thought, well, 3-0, Daniele's going to be happy. Then he went 3-1, then 3-2. I thought, crikey, what is happening here? But that Chiesa quote after the game suggesting, look, this is the way that we play now. This is not a generation or so ago. This is how we're going to play. We're going to take chances. We're going to score more goals. Is that right? Do you think we're seeing in Italy in a minute?
Yeah, I think Spalletti initially in the first game against Macedonia 6 games ago when he debuted, he was a little bit conservative, but now he's been much, much bolder when his approach, and so are the players. And Chiesa exemplifies the way Italy wants to play. He plays on the attack, has got chances, create chances, had a lot of shots, scored two. And I think Italy switched off at the back yesterday against North Macedonia. They probably see themselves already winning of the game. So it was a little bit of a self-inflicted pain. But to be fair, North Macedonia, they were not worth the 2 goals. They were coming in a little bit of lucky circumstances. But good reaction from Italy after the 3-2. They kept going, and they went for the 4th on the 5th. Has to be said, after the 3-0, Spalletti started to make some changes, perhaps a little bit too early, but obviously wants to preserve the legs for the key game against Ukraine on Monday.
A generation ago, if Italy needed a draw, they would get a draw and no more. I mean, it was just a given, wasn't it? And a good few years ago, we saw, and I don't know if we still see it now, Daniele, but last games of the season in Italian top flight and second team, you'll get an odds, you'll get the draw at odds on. I mean, that's not going to happen here, I don't think. And just talk us through your play, because you are suggesting that Italy are going to stick to their new principles here.
Yes, I think Italy under Spalletti will be hardly being speculative, playing on the counter-attack, will hardly be defensive. They'll still go out with a 4-3-3 formation with 2 attacking wingers like Chiesa and probably Berardi. We might see very few changes from the teams that beat Macedonia, because that's the way Spalletti wants them to play. He wants to apply high pressure, wants to be smart with the ball, and they need to make up for the absence of a superstar player with a collective play. So these are the principle that also Mancini applied in his tenure, which were very successful up until that defeat against North Macedonia in the World Cup playoffs. So my selection here is a both to score minus 122. So because obviously Ukraine needs the win, but not just because of that. I mentioned Italy defensively. They're also missing a few players, Di Lorenzo, Bastoni. They only kept two clean sheets in qualifiers against Malta. So they are susceptible of switching off. They got lapses of concentration, but I'm focusing more on Ukraine. It is a team and is a nation that footballing-wise has defeated the odds for the last 19 months. We don't have to hear to remember what they have achieved, but they've been incredible, and they are also incredibly proud, incredibly fit, incredibly young. If you compare them to Italy, they not only play at European levels with Shakhtar Donetsk, there are 9 players in the selection that play with Shakhtar Donetsk, who recently beat Barcelona, but you have the likes of course, Zinchenko, Mudrik, Zabarni, Mykolenko, all play in the Premier League. It is going to be a side that I think is cooking something for us. They got such an amazing record at home as well. They are unbeaten in 14 home matches since October 2020, including the games that they played just namely at home. And they lost the last qualifier at home in 2017 against Croatia. At the San Siro, they lost 2-1. They made a few mistakes. We were trying to play from the back, perhaps mistakes of inexperience. But going forward, they also gave Italy a few scares there. I stick with the both to score. Hopefully it's going to be a 1-1 draw and we'll all be happy.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Daniele, Steve was just talking about the home record for Ukraine. Obviously, they're not playing in Ukraine, as Daniele alluded to there. And they have got used to it. You know, they have got their own support. It's not as if this is a new thing. It's all factored into the price. And they are performing in their new home at the moment, I guess, aren't they?
I'm a little bit surprised that Italy are odds on to win this game because they don't need to win. I think they'll get the result they need because I quite like what I'm seeing from this new version of Italy. They actually can be good to watch, even if they don't always win games. There's got to be some excitement with Italian fans now, surely, with this manager in charge. So, but you know what? I've underestimated Ukraine teams before on this neutral territory. Everyone's really getting behind them and they'll fight like lions. I think Ukraine will find a way to this tournament, whether it's via the playoffs or, you know, you can't rule them out beating Italy, I suppose, here. But I do believe this looks like, I think what Gianelli's done really well here is got ahead of the curve. Everyone's presuming, oh, boring Italy. They'll play for the 0-0. They'll get the draw like that. But under this new regime, I think the draw's more likely to be 2-0 than 0-0, isn't it?
Well, that would suit us as well, I guess, because we've got both teams to score as the play here. Let's continue in Group C with North Macedonia against England. England have been backed over the course of the last 6 hours or so. They weren't great against Malta by any stretch of the imagination. They are -725 to win this one. Again, Monday, 2:45 Eastern. North Macedonia are +2,000 here. Just on this game, Daniele, just talk about North Macedonia again, because you obviously saw them against Italy, because you are suggesting here that England, however bad they were against Malta, will be better against North Macedonia here. Is this more to do with England having to be better than they were against Malta, or more to the fact that you've seen North Macedonia and they're not very good?
Both, because North Macedonia didn't impress me. I think in the reverse fixture against Italy, they had a clear game plan, whereas they didn't have it against at the Olimpico. In the first leg, they were a bit more proactive and knew how to take their chances when they come here. They sat back, launched the ball forward far too many times. They were also a little bit depleted, especially in defense. Yes, and those two goals, they're a little bit lucky because the second is a massive deflection from Acerbi. The first one, Italy switches off, but yeah, they looked far too vulnerable. At the back, look, I think the Macedonian record is poor, whereas England, on the other hand, yes, they've been poor against Malta, but to be fair, it's difficult to get motivated, I think, against Malta at home, although it was in front of a big crowd and there were some individual records to pursue. But, you know, the history of England in the qualifiers, we talked about this in the last previous show, always finished top in the qualifiers since 2012, top of the group, World Cup and Euros qualifiers, hasn't lost a qualifier game since 21st November 2007. And again, I think I go back to the point I made before. qualifying first of the group and with a good point tally, I think England can get up to 22 points if they win this one, is going to be so important. Sorry, 22 points. It's going to be so important because of the seeded place. Only five seeded plays in place because Germany has already got one. And you look at the likes of Spain, France, Portugal are likely to have the same amount of points or more than England. Then if Turkey wins, they're going to get 20 points. So you need to finish top. It's so important. England, I think, is going to do the job. They're going to be a couple of changes as well. But recently, they've done it. Time and time again, they've traveled to Eastern European countries, the likes of Bulgaria, Montenegro. They won. That's what they normally do. I'm going to go for an Asian handicap -2 here for the visitors, -105.
-105 with England giving up two goals. Steve, your thoughts on England?
Well, the match against Malta was absolutely turgid. When I first saw Daniele liking this -2 Asian, I was thinking, I'm not sure. But the more you think about it, what happens is when England get criticised, and they have been badly, you know, Southgate, Mr. Boring, etc. The next game, he's often eager to prove a point to kind of show, oh, this is what we can do. So there's definitely more of a chance that England to bang up for this. And Macedonia might be a bit flat after that match against Italy as well. I mean, Gareth Southgate, you know, I've said many times he is the worry, isn't he, for England, really, heading into the Euros. I'm just not sure he's got it in the big games all the time. He actually lives only about 6 miles away from me, Gareth Southgate, by the way. His son once played in my cricket league. So see him, I might just say something, you know.
Yeah, give him a
be bold, Gareth. Be bold.
Yeah, but isn't that what you need, I think? He made England a qualifying machine. You're never going to miss a qualifier. You're becoming as good as Spain, always qualifying. Before him, we know we had your troubles. And at the end of the day, in big tournaments, it's fine margins. I mean, it was a penalty away from winning the Euros. Okay, Italy were better in the final. And a penalty away from going to the semi-final or into extra time against France. So it's really the fine margins. I don't think you could find anyone better, or at least anyone better who's English, on the market right now.
He's done very well. Don't get me wrong. And I think this is when, as English fans, we nitpick. For example, that final against Italy, 1-0 up. I just personally felt we were just too defensive, sat back too much. And then I think, for me, team selection against France. But you're right, it comes down to small margins, and France were an exceptional team. But that's the nature of the beast with England. Until we actually win something again, Daniele, we're always going to be criticising. So that's the way it goes, isn't it?
+400 England for Euro 2024 glory. France +400, incidentally, as well. Italy, defending champions, +1600. Let's talk South American qualifiers. Steve's got some picks for us here, but we'll get some thoughts from Daniele as well on the Superclásico Brazil-Argentina. We're going to start, though, with Uruguay-Bolivia. This is 6:30 Tuesday Eastern. Uruguay -1000, Bolivia +3300, draw +870 here. Uruguay, Steve, as you've been pointing out throughout this qualification campaign, have been flying. And the results against Brazil and most recently Argentina, I guess, prove that. I didn't see the game. Did they deserve that success in midweek?
I thought so. I thought it was a really good tactical setup again. Bielsa is a miracle worker, like I said. Beat Brazil and Argentina back-to-back. Prior to that, they got a draw against Colombia. He's adapting really well to different games. And this is a completely different game to what the last two have been. At home against Bolivia, it should be a very convincing win for Uruguay. The bet I'm going to advise here is over 3 goals at -114. You could look at the Uruguay handicap, but I just think Bolivia are going to come here and have a go, to be honest. Bolivia, shout out to Bolivia, they won a game. In the previous round, they beat Peru 2-0. I had a feeling it might happen. They're not as bad as their results suggest, you know, in my opinion, but they have a horrible record away from home. So this should be a Uruguay blowout. But I prefer the goals because I think Bielsa's going to revert to his more madness sort of tactics and system here. He'll be going for as many goals as he can. The game should be quite wide open. And unless there's plenty taken out of their legs after the Argentina game, this should be a really good game to watch, actually. There's a crazy head-to-head the last three matches between the two sides at this venue in World Cup qualifiers have all ended in a 4-2 win for Uruguay. Can you believe that? 70-1 if you fancy the 4-2 correct score again. The big problem will be getting Bolivia to score twice, I think. But I do think the visitors can get on the score sheet. I think they'll be a bit confident after their win. Maybe a bit too overconfident, perhaps. But Uruguay, I think we're looking like a 3-1 or 4-1 home win. So I prefer to take the goals than the handicap in this one, Dan.
I drop in outright prices, futures prices, and no one ever really takes them. Everybody wants to keep their powder dry. No one knows who's going to qualify, what sort of groups they're going to be in when we get to the finals. It's a long way out, summer 2026. But I'll put this to both of you. I mean, 40-1 Uruguay plus 4,000. I mean, they're not the worst bet. If they top that South American qualification group, Daniele, I mean, potentially they could be half the price. I'm not saying they're going to win it. All I'm saying is you could have a value play. Well, have you got any thoughts on Uruguay, Daniele?
Well, I think the work that Marcelo Bielsa is doing is remarkable, because it is true that he's got a side with some good players, some star players, Darwin Núñez and Valverde. But if you look also at the other players that he has recalled, I mean, Vigna struggled to get a game for Roma. Cáceres, I mean, he's been around the block a while. So it's also about trying to find the right players and the right balance as well. How vast is the pool that Bielsa can select from? I mean, how big is going to be his squad? Starting 11-wise, I think is fine, but always be careful. There might be a couple of injuries away from being seriously depleted.
Steve, worth the play at 40s?
Yes, I think so, for a bit of value. But you know, the tournament I'm eyeing them up for is the Copa America in the summer of 2024, because I think at the minute the Brazil and Argentinas of this world are not in great shapes. Might not even be that focused in that tournament. Mexico might not even be in it. USA are going to be there, of course. So that'll be, I'm hoping, you know, we might even be covering that tournament, Dan, come the summer. But I think it's a great time now for Uruguay to strike and win something. So, but it is an interesting generation of players, as Messi said after the game. Bielsa's inherited a great, a really intriguing bunch of individuals who could develop during this period.
I'm surprised Messi had anything nice to say about him after what they were saying about him. Anyway, let's move on and read a poll in particular. Brazil-Argentina is the Superclásico at national team level. Tuesday, 7:30 Eastern. Brazil plus 160. Argentina plus 215. The draw plus 195. Massive game, Steve, in Rio. They didn't play in Rio or in Brazil for the previous World Cup qualifiers. It was called off as Argentine players walked off because of a COVID row. So we haven't seen them competitively in Brazil, these two, for quite some time here. And I was looking back through some of the stats as far as I could go. And Brazil at plus 160, I think that this is the biggest price they have ever been for a home World Cup qualifier since we started to get odds. I don't know if it's true. I've gone back as far as I can go, about 20 years with, but I can't imagine that they've been bigger, as big as 160. And it's because they're in poor form at the moment, Steve.
They are. And the match against Uruguay they lost a few in the previous round, that was the worst Brazil performance I've ever seen myself with my own eyes. They were awful. And they weren't an awful lot better against Colombia. I think they're quite an ordinary side. You know, you're not going to get that much love on for Brazil on this show unless Daniele is going to be enjoying them. But they're not that great. They've not, how many real X-factor players have they got right now? Vinicius Junior is injured until February, by the way. He came off in the Colombia game. So that's one of those players that can maybe make something happen, ruled out. I'm just not convinced by them. I suppose I better describe the bet for the game. And unusually for me, I'm actually going unders. I'm tipping an unders. I'm always more comfortable betting on unders in international football than domestic football. Under two goal line. So this is an Asian goal line of two. If there's two goals exactly, it'll be a push. So need zero or one goals for this bet to cash. But it's going to be so cagey. The last time these two sides met, it was 0-0. I mean, there's going to be start, stop, start, stop. There's not going to be much actual time for football to be played, in my opinion, Dan. there's no one's released a cards line yet for this game. I don't think anyone dares, but they could be 9 or 10 cards here. Get on the overs for that. Neither team's going to want to lose. It'd be a terrible time for either side to lose this game, especially Brazil. So the pressure's on them. I think the draw is well worth backing. I'm not a draw backer, but this could well be 0-0 again or 1-1. I just don't see this game opening up. Defences, at the moment, both these sides are actually better in defence, in my opinion. I don't think offensively they've got... I mean, Messi, obviously, can't underestimate him, but how sharp is he? You know, he's not... He's been playing league matches for a while. This just feels like a real feisty game, possibly a red card somewhere. Not that many chances. The two good goalkeepers, I might add as well, who that can really contribute towards the under. So I'm just struggling to see where the goals are going to come from in this game, Dan, really. And I'm really leaning strongly towards that draw in this game. So under 2 Asian goals for me at minus 109 is the price.
Yeah, the draw is just under 2-1 at plus 195. I'm sure a cards line will come out if it's anything like the Copa Libertadores final, which was between a Brazilian and Argentine side, then it could be fairly high. Daniele, any thoughts on the Super Classico in Rio?
But first of all, I'll say that they're going to be fine. They're going to qualify because for the first time, the South American qualification, 6 teams qualify and the 7th go to the playoff because obviously there are 16 more teams in the next World Cup. So I'm sure you're going to be all right. But worrying for Brazil because there are doubts, of course, about who the next coach is going to be. There are doubts around Fernando Diniz, who's considered one of the best coaches in Brazil, won the Libertadores recently with Fluminense and now lost 2 games in a row. Probably he tries to apply a type of football that is not being assimilated very quickly. A lot of short passes, a lot of movements. He might need a little bit more of time with his group of players, but does he have time? He only had maybe 20, 25 training sessions altogether. But also when you look at the midfield, that's where Brazil struggles and has struggled to dominate games. André, only 3 caps for Brazil. Then you got Bruno Guimarães, Douglas Luiz, Joe Linton, only 4 caps, and Rafael Vega, who played for Palmeiras, 20 years old, only 5 caps. No Casemiro, no Jesus up front, no Neymar, 79 goals for La Canarinha. So obviously, it is a side that lacks also that kind of experience. Defeated for the first time in qualifiers ever by Colombia, lost for the first time in 22 years against Uruguay. This is going to be a crucial, crucial game. A win here, maybe Diniz might even stay, because I know not many people want Ancelotti as a permanent manager when it comes to Argentina. Perhaps they're a little bit more settled, a little bit more stable. By the way, that was only the first defeat after 14 winning games against Uruguay, but also were never in control. Scaloni did a bit of turnover, rested Di Maria and Martinez initially. I think he's going to play this one. The defense, the back line of Argentina with Otamendi and Romero, it's never convinced me, but you need to give them credit. It's pretty much the same 11 who won the World Cup. Yes, I'm going to go for an under here. If I had to choose, under 2.5 goals, under 3 goals. Yeah, very, very scrappy.
So a scrappy affair in the Super Classico. That will come of no surprise to many. One more official pick from Steve, which is Peru-Venezuela. This is Tuesday, 9 p.m. here. Peru plus 120, Venezuela plus 275. You tipped a Venezuela draw no bet in midweek. Steve, not tempted to go again with a draw no bet here?
Yeah, I would.
I was quite tempted, actually, on the plus 0.25 Asian handicap, but... the pick I'm advising again is another under, and you're probably wondering if there's anything wrong with me, Dan, here, because this is not very usual that you would get me to tip 2 unders in a show, but under 2 goals, under 2 Asian goals again is the advice from me. This could be another 0-0. Peru are possibly the worst team in South America right now, certainly offensively. They are offering absolutely nothing. They've had 1 shot on target in 5 games. In fact, they've only actually had 23 shots in those 5 games so far. So offensively, they're offering nothing. They're not too bad at the back. They don't give up that many chances, but they've got 1 point on the board, which was a 0-0 draw. Even Brazil have beaten them. Sorry, I'm getting a bit harsh on Brazil on this show already. But
it took me a split second to get that, but very good.
But Venezuela will come here with every right to think they can get a result. But the problem for Venezuela, they've never qualified for a World Cup. I think the pressure might be starting to get on them a little bit. the 0-0 against Ecuador, they were starting to get a bit tetchy. Just a few signs for me. And Peru know this is their last chance saloon, really. They've got to beat Venezuela at home if they're going to have any chance of qualifying. So, but how can Peru win a game of football? It's looking like 1-0 is the only way at the moment, and that's what they'll probably play for. So this is going to be such a tight, low-scoring game. There's nothing really from either team that's suggesting goals. Peru can't score. Venezuela have really good XGA, just 3.889 XGA in the five games. So they're defensively stout. The only real worry would be if Venezuela managed to do quite well offensively, but I don't really see that happening either. It just screams to me, I don't see more than two goals, Dan. Just the way the style, lack of offensive quality, probably on both sides, really. Will it end 0-0? I don't know whether Peru can allow that to happen. But I suppose that it's better than what they've been doing recently. So under two Asian goals again, this is a low goal line, but I just don't see anything that suggests this will contain that many goals. But
in fairness to Peru and to their head coach Reynoso, who obviously has taken the team backwards a little bit. I was speaking to some friends in Peru before the show. But if you think about the crop of players that he's got, I couldn't name a famous Peruvian player. Whereas in the previous World Cup, at least two or three. I mean, they still got Paulo Guerrero, 39 years old, who came off the bench. Gianluca Lapadula plays for Cagliari. Advincula plays for Boca Juniors. But really, there isn't much to select there. A lot of experience in terms of international caps when it comes to the Peru squad, but not...
There's no pace in the squad.
There's not a great deal of quality, not pace. All. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it screams under to me as well. Perhaps Venezuela, throw no bet or having the upper hand.
Don't at me, Peru fans. It's Steve and Daniele that are taking your squad to task here.
Don't worry, Danny. We're the Brazil fans are we all after me now.
Yes.
After this last two shows. So.
We've got one lean, and we go to the Asian World Cup qualifiers here. Nice to dip into Asia here. This is an interesting one. It is Syria against Japan. This match being taking place in Saudi Arabia. Steve, all yours.
You might be wondering, as my quail in the background gets very excited with this pick, you might be wondering why I was even looking at this game. Well, because it was one of the few that Bet Rivers has actually priced up for this day of games. But we're getting to the stage where I'm getting interested in some of the African and Asian qualifying groups. Whenever Japan are involved, Japan play one way, no matter what the game, competitive or friendly. They're so offensive. If you remember this from the World Cup as well, large majority of their games in the last 12 months have had at least three goals in them. And I think Syria against Japan could be an over three. This is just a lean. But that's just based on how Japan play their soccer. They warmed up with a 5-0 win against Myanmar. But believe it or not, they didn't even cover their Asian line there. It was -7. So, but they've usually got plenty of goals in them. Syria, I can't profess to know anything about them, Dan. So I apologise to Syria fans out there. But I just based an over three goal line just looked low compared to how I know Japan play their football. So, a little lean into the Asian qualifiers.
Cool. That's 9:45 Eastern on Tuesday. Also in their group, incidentally, North Korea and Myanmar. And we always talk about tough places to go. And I would suggest that Syria, North Korea and Myanmar is about as tough as you're going to get in a qualifier. Obviously, overall.
Can I give you a nice place to go, Dan? I was looking at the African qualifiers. Seychelles got beat 9-0 by Ivory Coast, and they're hosting
Seychelles Kenya. Away. I'll put myself down.
Great place to go that must be. Seychelles away, lovely place, horrible, awful football team. There you go. That's a nice place to go.
Put myself down for that one. Best bets of the session. Daniele, you put up a couple for us. What's your best play?
I stick with Italy, both to score in the Ukraine game, -122.
And Steve?
I think it's the Super Classico. Brazil, Argentina under two goals.
Brilliant. That wraps up Betting Weekly Extra Time International Edition. Plenty to go at globally and stay across all of our content on our YouTube channel. Many thanks to Steve and Daniele. From all of us, for now, it is goodbye.